Hello and welcome back to my episode 9 of the Fundamentals of Investing. I am Professor Mahesh Agnihotri, your host for the episode. I am a retired professor of accounting and finance for bachelor's programs and other higher qualification seeking programs as well for almost 4 decades in India, Oman and the United Arab Emirates. During this period, I taught basic and higher levels of accounting courses and also principles of finance, fundamentals of investing, capital markets and institutions, and applied finance in the area of finance. Apart from teaching, I have presented research papers in Asia, Europe, and North America, which includes an international business conference in the oldest professional management societies called Society for the Advancement of Management, established way back in the year 1910. In my earlier episodes, we had discussed topics which include, in episode number 1, introduction to stock market, how it functions, and why do stock prices go up and go down. In episode 2, we had discussed investment risk and portfolio risk management strategies. Whereas in episode 3, we had discussed the tips for beginners who are contemplating to invest in stock markets and also what are the points to be remembered before selecting a stock. The concept of value investing and the principles followed by famed investors and also the advantages and disadvantages of investing in value was discussed in episode number 4. Investment in some of the fixed income securities, their advantages and disadvantages, and also the risks involved was discussed in episode number 5. Whereas in episode number 6, we had discussed investing habits of investors, both good habits as well as bad. Whereas in episode number 7, we had discussed the investing theories of the various investors. Whereas in episode number 8, we had discussed the asset allocation strategies. In this episode, we will discuss 22 important terms which are frequently used in stock markets and 6 ratios which may help the investors, particularly the new investors. Before we discuss the terms, let me tell you that we will be using the terms investor and trader more often than not. So it is good to know the difference between the two. A trader holds stocks till the short-term high performance ends, whereas investors invest their money for some years, decades, or even longer periods. Investing is actually an approach that works on buy and hold principle. It is essential that every investor understands or knows the terms used in the stock market. A good understanding of these terms will make them a better trader because it takes time to grasp the intricacies of securities trading. Now, let us discuss the terms used in the stock markets. The first one is initial public offering. Initial public offering, also called as IPO, is a process by which a private company can go public by selling its stocks to the general public. It could be a new company or a young company or even an old company which decides to be listed on an exchange, and that's why it goes public. Companies can raise their requirement of equity capital with the help of an IPO by issuing new shares to the public. But the point to note is A company offering its shares to the public is not obliged to repay the capital to the public investors. The company which offers its shares is called as an issuer, whereas the person purchasing the shares is called as the subscriber. Companies can issue shares with the help of investment banks. After an IPO, these shares can be further sold by investors through secondary market trading. A company can issue its shares either at par or at a premium or even at a discount. The shares will be at par is when the shares are sold at their nominal value. When shares are sold at a price more than their nominal value, it can be said that they are issued at a premium. And of course, shares sold at a discount cost less than the face value or less than the nominal value. That is about the initial public offering. Now we move on to the second term, secondary offering. A secondary offering is the sale of new or closely held shares by a company that has already made an initial public offering. There are two types of secondary offerings, non-dilutive and dilutive. A non-dilutive secondary offering is a sale of securities in which one or more major stockholders in a company sell all or a large portion of their holdings. Whereas a dilutive secondary offering involves creating new shares and offering them for public sale. The third term that we will discuss is arbitrage. Arbitrage is buying and selling the same security on different markets at different prices. For example, if stock ABC is trading at $10 per share on one market and at $10.50 on another market, a trader could buy X shares at $10 per share and then sell them at the rate of $10.50 on the other market, pocketing the difference of 50 cents. The purpose of arbitrage is to take the advantage of difference in prices available for the same financial instrument which is offered on different markets. Arbitrage actually provides traders or investors a mechanism to ensure that the prices do not deviate substantially from fair value for long periods of time. But with the advancement in technology, it has become extremely difficult to profit from pricing errors in the market. That is, in different markets, the prices are not different most of the times, with a marginal difference. The fourth term is the intraday trading. Intraday trading is about buying and selling stocks on the same day so that all positions are closed before trading hours are over on that day. Order. An order is a show of intent to buy or sell shares in a given price range. For example, you may place an order to buy up to 100 shares of a company A at a maximum price of, say, $100 per share. That is an order. The next term is bid. A bid is the amount that you as an investor are willing to pay for a share. Then we have the next term, ask. An ask is the price at which you are willing to sell a share. Having discussed bid and ask, it's essential that we should know the difference between bid and ask, that is bid-ask spread. What is bid-ask spread? The bid-ask spread is the difference between the highest price that a buyer is willing to pay for an asset and the lowest price that a seller is willing to accept. Then we have the term averaging. What is averaging? Averaging in the stock market is a bundle of comprehensive trading strategies that involve the fundamental principle of reducing or increasing the share prices. This is done to overcome the market volatility. There are multiple kinds of averaging strategies a trader can employ or a trader can use in a variety of market settings. Averaging could be averaging up or averaging down. Let us see what is averaging down first. Averaging down is the most popularly employed averaging strategies. It is carried out by acquiring more shares when there is a fall in the share price after its initial purchase. Buying more shares means the average cost of all shares held is lowered, or it goes down, the average cost goes down. And this leads to the lowering of the break-even point as well. Then we move on to the next term, that is averaging up. Averaging up is also a widely used strategy in the bull market. By using this strategy, traders or investors buy new units if they are assured that the original trend of the stock market is intact and with significant growth potential as well. Then we have the new term, the next term, pyramiding. Pyramiding is an aggressive trading strategy that involves compounding one's existing positions as the share price moves in a desirable direction. But this particular strategy is suitable only for those who can manage high risk situations. For others, it is not advisable. Then we have blue chip stocks. Blue chip stocks are the shares of very large and very well-recognized companies with a long history of sound financial performance. The cost of blue chip stocks is generally high. This is so because they have a good reputation and are often market leaders in their respective industries. These stocks are capable to endure tough market conditions and can give high returns in good market conditions. These stocks generally have a relatively huge market capitalization. Then we have the next term, beta. Beta is a measure of stocks' volatility in relation to the overall market. It measures the association between the price of one equity share and the overall movement of the stock market. Beta of the market is assumed to be 1. If a stock's beta is more than 1, it means it has a higher risk than the market. Whereas a beta, if it is less than 1, this indicates that the stock is less riskier than the market. Beta is probably a better indicator in short term rather than in long term risk. Then we have the next term, yield. We may use the yield to calculate the return on an investment, which you get after receiving the dividend on a particular share. We can find the yield by dividing annual amount of dividend by the price paid for the stock. That is an example of a yield. Then we move on to the next term. What is a rally? A rally is a period of sustained increases in the prices of stocks. This type of price movement can happen during either a bull or a bear market, when it is known as either a bull market rally or a bear market rally. Then we move on to the next term, that is ETF, that is an exchange traded fund. An exchange traded fund is a basket of securities that trade on an exchange just like a stock. ETF share prices fluctuate all day as the ETF is bought and sold throughout the day. This is different from the mutual funds that only trade once a day, after the market closes. ETF can contain all types of investments, including stocks, commodities, and also bonds. Then the next term is book value. Book value is defined as the net asset value or NAV of a company, and this can be calculated by adding up the total assets and subtracting the total liabilities. That will give us the book value or the net asset value of a company. Then we have the next term, over the counter. If you trade a security that is not listed in a stock exchange, you are making an over-the-counter trade. Then we have market order. An order to sell or buy shares at the market price is called as a market order. Remember, it is advisable to avoid placing market order as the trade price can be very volatile sometimes. Then we have limit order. An order to sell shares above a set price or buy shares below a set price is called a limit order. It is always good to use limit orders to trade shares. Then we have the last term, day order. Day order is an order that is good only till the end of the trading day. If the order does not get executed by the time the market closes, it is cancelled. We have come to an end of the discussion of the 22 terms which are useful to the beginners, particularly who are thinking of investing in the stock markets. Now we move on to some of the ratios which can help in understanding of the value of stock. The first one is, what is price to book ratio? The price to book ratio compares a company's market value to its book value. Companies use price to book ratio to compare a firm's market capitalization to its book value. We have already discussed the term book value earlier on. But now there's a need to understand what is the market value of a company. The market value of a company is its share price multiplied by the number of outstanding shares. The price to book ratio has been favored by value investors for decades and is widely used by market analysts. Traditionally, any value under 1.0 is considered as a good PB ratio, indicating a potentially undervalued stock. However, value investors often consider stocks with a PB value under 3.0. It is important to note that it can be very difficult to pinpoint a specific numeric value of a good price to book ratio. It is also to be noted that ratio analysis can vary by industry, and a good PB ratio for one industry may be a poor ratio for another. So it is difficult to calculate what a good PB ratio is. Now we move on to the second ratio, that is working capital ratio. The working capital ratio is commonly used to assess a company's financial performance. Low working capital ratio values, that is near one or lower, can indicate serious financial problems with a company. The working capital ratio reveals whether the company has enough short-term assets to pay off its short-term debt obligations. That is the question. Working capital represents the difference between a firm's current assets and current liabilities. To tell you what are current assets include cash, cash equivalents, bank balances, inventory, receivables, and marketable securities, etc. Whereas current liabilities include outstanding expenses towards salaries, towards interest on loan, towards payments due to creditors for supplies, current taxes payable are some of the examples of current liabilities. Assessing the health of a company in which you want to invest involves understanding its liquidity. That is, how easily the company can turn its assets into cash to pay off the short-term obligations. That is what is important for any company to be in the market. The working capital ratio is calculated by dividing the current assets by current liabilities. For example, if XYZ company has a current assets of say 8 million and a current liability of say, for example, 4 million, that means 8 million divided by 4 million, that's a 2.2:1 ratio. Pretty sound, because that is the standard, because that means that the company has enough current assets to pay off its current liabilities. But if two similar companies each had 2:1 ratios, but one had more cash among its current assets, that company or that firm would be better able to pay off its debts quicker than the other one. But the question is, do companies keep so much of cash and not have the other assets? That's the question. Then we move on to the third ratio, that is quick ratio, also called as the acid test. This ratio subtracts inventories from the current assets. Except the inventories, all other assets are there. This ratio subtracts the inventories from the current assets before we divide that figure into liabilities. The idea is to show how well current assets are covered by cash and by items with a ready cash value or cash equivalents. That is, there should be enough cash immediately to pay off the current liabilities. Inventory, on the other hand, takes time to sell and convert into liquid assets. So that is why it is excluded from the current assets while we calculate the quick ratio. If another example, if XYZ has 8 million in current assets minus 2 million in inventories over 4 million in current liabilities, that means it has a ratio of 1.5:1 ratio. That is 8 million minus 2 million is 6. 6 over 4 million is it comes to 1.5:1. Companies like to have at least 1:1 ratio here. But firms which less than that may be okay, but not 100%, because It means they turn their inventories over very quickly. Then we move on to the next important ratio, that is debt equity ratio. The debt to equity ratio is calculated by dividing a company's total liabilities by its shareholders' equity. The ratio is used to evaluate a company's financial leverage. The debt to equity ratio is an important metric used in corporate finance. It's a measure of the degree to which a company is financing its operations through debt as compared to the wholly owned funds, that is the share capital. A good debt to equity ratio is around 1 to 1.5. However, the ideal debt to equity ratio will vary depending on the industry, because some industries use more debt financing than others. Then we have the next ratio, return on equity ratio. Common shareholders want to know how profitable their capital is in the business in which they have invested their capital. Return on equity can be calculated by taking the firm's net earnings, that is after taxes and after subtracting the preferred dividends, if there are any, and then dividing the result by the equity share capital of the company. That gives you the return on equity. Any return of equity over 10 to 12% indicates good performance. The higher the return on equity, the better the company is generating good profits. The last but not the least important ratio is price to earnings ratio, that is PE ratio. The price to earnings ratio is the ratio for valuing a company that measures its current share price relative to its per share earnings. The price to earnings ratio is also sometimes known as price multiple or the earnings multiple. PE ratios are used by investors and analysts to determine the relative value of a company's shares in an apples to apples comparison, not apples to oranges. It can also be used to compare a company against its own historical record. But I can say there are dozens of financial ratios that are used in fundamental analysis, that is these ratios. Here we have only discussed the six of the most important or common or the basic ratios. Remember that a company cannot be properly evaluated or analyzed using just one ratio in isolation. It is always good to combine ratios and then combine ratios and also metrics to get a complete picture of a company's performance. Only then we will get an idea as to how well the company is performing, or what are the chances of the company's making good profits. So this marks the end of the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Please like, share, subscribe, and also recommend it to your friends. Should you have any questions, you may reach me through my email, agnihotripodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, and see you in the next episode next Sunday. Thank you.